As we've been telling you, federal agents raided a home in Watertown outside Boston yesterday and took two men into custody in connection with the case of accused Times Square bomber Faisal Shahzad.
I was shocked that I saw so many FBI agents with their guns drawn, and then I knew something was going down.
You can tell by the accent, that was Watertown resident Vinny Lacera, who saw the raid as it happened. Toni Waterman is with us now. She's an associate producer for Greater Boston and our partner station, WGBH. Toni, good morning.
Good morning, Lynn.
What is the latest on these two men who were taken from Watertown?
Well, what we're hearing this morning is a little bit more information about who these two men are. One of those men is Pir Khan. He's a 43-year-old Pakistani man. He's a taxi cab driver here in the city, and the police arrested him yesterday as he was pulling up in front of the DoubleTree Hotel in Alston around 8 o'clock yesterday morning. Now, he is a relative of the man that was arrested in the Watertown raid around 6 a.m. in the morning. That gentleman's name is Atab Khan. And it's believed that he is a gas attendant at the Brookline gas station that federal agents stormed yesterday morning as well.
Toni, have these two gentlemen been charged with anything?
Right now, they're not charged with anything. What they have been, arrested for immigration violations, but no formal charges have been brought against them so far.
And no any indication from your sources or what you're hearing as to what their connection might have been with the alleged bomber?
Well, the connection that federal agents are saying is that these two men funneled money to Faisal Shahzad at some point and in some way. What's still unclear at this point is whether or not these two gentlemen knew what was going to happen with that money or if they were just unwitting accomplices.
There was another raid in Brookline, correct? Home of former Governor Mike Dukakis, among others. What was happening there?
That's correct. That actually happened at a gas station in Watertown. It's only a few miles down the road from the Watertown home that was raided. It happened at the same time as federal agents were raiding the Watertown home around 6 a.m. in the morning. They detained a couple of gas station employees, questioned them, but nobody was taken into custody.
Let's listen for a moment to Attorney General Eric Holder. Here's what he had to say yesterday about these incidents.
These searches are the product of evidence that has been gathered in the investigation since the attempted Times Square bombing and do not relate to any known immediate threat to the public or active plot against the United States.
So that, I assume, meant to reassure folks this is not about something new. This is about something that went down in Times Square. But by the same token, he talked about evidence. Do we have any idea what that evidence is? Clearly this is stuff that must be coming from Faisal Shahzad, right?
That is what the assumption is, that he is now, as he's being held, is singing and letting out information about who he's been working with. And there's also a money trail that leads directly back to these two individuals.
Okay, Toni Waterman, associate producer for Greater Boston and our partner station, WGBH. Thanks for your help on that. Now, you mentioned, she mentioned the money plot. The international links on this case have drawn scrutiny to a practice known as hawala, which is a kind of underground banking activity. Many analysts say it's used by some groups to finance terror activity without leaving a paper trail. Hassan Abbas is a professor at Columbia University here in New York and a fellow at the Asia Society. He is the author of Pakistan's Drift into Extremism. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about hawala. This is nothing new, and it's not necessarily connected to terrorism, right?
Yes, this is an old system where there's no record of the transaction that is taking place. There's no need to have a bank account to go and transfer money. In fact, in one of the U.S. Treasury Department cases, it was defined as money transfer without money movement. So this is, as you had rightly said, informal underground banking system.
And how does it work? Give us a quick example of how it might work.
This will work, for example, if I want to send money to Islamabad or to Karachi, I'll go to New York, give $200 or let's say $100 to someone. They will make a phone call to someone in Pakistan and say that, hey, is a person, we are receiving this $100 from him. Just give such and such person the amount in Pakistani rupees. That would include there will be a good, better rate than the banking system of better rate of currency conversion. There will be no transfer fees, no money involved in that. So if I send it through a banking system, this way it will be cheaper and no record will.
And no record. Isn't that the key?
But now I'm confused. So Hassan Abbas, if there's no record on Huala, Tony Waterman up at WGBH in Boston just said there is a money trail that directly leads to Faisal Shahzad and these individuals that were picked up yesterday. Would that rule out Hawala?
No, money trail, I think what she meant was that Faisal Shahzad must have said that this is how he received money from the other side. It works that way. So money trail, perhaps, not in a banking system context, but in a sense that he received money through this channel, because this means you need to have a network in this also. I mean, it's not like official legal banking. This is underground, but it works very similar to the banking system. The people who are involved in this can also be legitimate business people if their organization is registered. But if they are doing it off the record, of course, they maintain some kind of record for their own purposes. It is only that they are not paying taxes, they are not paying customs duty, and they are evading taxes and all that stuff. So I think that's what she meant by trail.
After 9/11, this practice came to the fore, and the U.S. government was counterterrorism officials were meant to be taking a look at it. Has this government in the United States done anything to check into it better?
I think, yes, previously we know that after the 9/11 tragedy, some of the places actually within New York were raided. And the U.S. had started doing something. I think much more needs to be done because criminal networks, terrorist networks use this mechanism.
Hassan Abbas, professor at Columbia University and at the fellow at the Asia Society, thanks for helping shed some light onto this. John, I suspect we're going to be hearing a lot more about it coming
Indeed.
Up.
Indeed, and also thanks to Tony Waterman up there at WGBH in Boston.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.